we'll go ahead and call the November 13th Occupational Therapy Examiners meeting to order at 1:31. And we'll start with the roll call.
Quentin McAllister?
Present.
Barbara Paulson?
Present.
Charlene Marks?
Present.
All right, going on to item three, declarations of conflicts of interest. And this is where I would like to say that we're going to probably table a lot of items on the agenda due to the staff need to remove themselves from the building as quickly as possible. So what I would like to do is go ahead and table items 7B and D. And forgive the scrolling, but I gotta get down to make sure these are labeled correctly from the minutes. And item number 9, and I do want to still briefly address item 10A, or item 10, if we can do so in a timely manner, and we can continue that on to next month's meeting. So does anybody have any conflicts of interest outside of those items?
This is Barbara Paulson. I have none.
This is Charlene Marbs. I have none.
All right, perfect. Moving on to item 4, the next 3-month board meetings. Are there any conflicts or any adjustments need to be made to that?
This is Charlene Marks. I don't have any conflicts at this time.
And this is Barbara Paulson. They look good to me.
Excellent. All right, moving on to item 5. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to approve our regular session and executive session meeting minutes for September the 11th, if there are no corrections. Do I have any corrections or a second to that motion?
Mr. Chair, I do have a correction. But I've got so many notes here. I gotta find the right sheet of paper. Okay. Under 7BI, at the fifth sentence from the bottom, and it's Dr. McAllister stated that Mrs. Garland had 2 TWO DUIs. I mean, 2 TO is in the minutes, but it should be 2 WO. TWO. Oh, okay.
The number 2, not 2.
Correct.
You 2. Sorry. Okay. All right. Taking into consideration that correction, I would like to go ahead and approve those with that correction. Is there a second?
Mr. Chairman, this is Charlene Marks. I second that we approve the minutes.
All in favor?
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marks?
Aye.
And that motion carries 3-0. Moving on to item 6A, and this is the formal hearing for Alexander Burke. So I will start with the script, so bear with me while I read to you guys so we can do this exactly as we need to.
Mr. Chair, if I could just confirm that Michael Rain is on the phone.
Mr. Chair, can you hear me? This is Michael Rain.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I am on the line. I'll mute myself, but I'm available to provide independent advice as needed.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, so we're starting with the introduction. On this date and time and place, where the matter dealing with occupational therapy license application for Alexander Burke is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona Board of Occupational Therapy Examiners. The subject of this hearing is set forth in the notice of hearing on denial of license. This is a formal administrative hearing to determine whether to grant or deny Mr. Burke's application for occupational therapy license. I will now list the board members attending in this hearing. Please note that with the exception of myself, the chair, the rest of the members are attending this meeting virtually. So I'm gonna go ahead and correct that because we have Charlene Marbs, Ms. Charlene Marbs attending virtually as well. Okay. Let the record show that the board members have been furnished with copies of the denial letter and all pleadings of the record. Would the parties please identify themselves? Applicant, are you present by attorney?
Sabrina Kahn, present for the state.
Mandy Carvis, appearing on behalf of Alexander Burke.
I think we're going to need both of you to speak directly into the microphones.
Okay.
If they don't work on it.
Okay, before starting hearing, does either party have any procedural issues to address?
None from the state.
None from counsel for the applicant.
Okay. A hearing of this nature differs from a court proceeding. The technical rules of evidence do not apply. Reliable hearsay evidence is admissible. The board will entertain objections concerning irreverent, repetitious, or otherwise inadmissible evidence. However, the board is the sole judge of the weight given to the evidence received. In a license denial proceeding, the applicant bears the burden of proof and shall present his case first. Then the state shall present its case. Each party will be allowed to present evidence, cross-examine opposing witnesses, and make a closing argument. If both parties agree, the state may be allowed to go first to clarify issues in dispute. After it hears all evidence and the arguments of the parties, the board will deliberate and decide whether to grant or deny the application for licensure. Each party may now make an opening statement. The opening statement is a brief summary of the case you intend to present to the board today. It is not the time to make a future presentation of your case. You will have an opportunity to do so later in the hearing. Does the applicant wish to make an opening statement?
Yes, briefly. Mr. Chair, members of the board is familiar with this situation. My client is not asking the board to disregard his prior criminal convictions. Rather, he is simply asking the board for an opportunity to practice. He is willing to have that done with whatever strings attached that the board would like. He's willing to be on probation for however long the board would like him to be on probation for. He submitted an inordinate amount of letters of reference in this case. In addition, since we were last before the board, my client has received a fingerprint clearance card from the state of Arizona. He has also taken and submitted his FBI fingerprints to the board, which was something that the board wanted. My client would still very much be interested in some sort of consent agreement, allowing him to practice, taking even more continuing education than was recommended in the last agreement that we worked with Ms. Kahn on. Again, longer term of probation. He's not asking for these things to be ignored, rather he's asking for an opportunity. This board very rarely, if ever, gets to this stage because licenses are very rarely, if ever, denied. In fact, in November of 2016, this board granted a license to N. Lewis, who reported 4 arrests, including a shoplifting crime, a crime of moral turpitude, the same that my client has. We're not asking you to ignore your duty to protect the public. We're asking you to give my client an opportunity for and reward the hard work that he has put in. This board has licensed folks with other charges and similar charges and allowed individuals who are already licensed by this board to keep their license when they have done things while they're licensed by this board, including but not limited to alcohol use and abuse while practicing, billing fraud while practicing. We're simply asking for an opportunity and would be willing, again, to do whatever it takes in order to do that and maintain the board's comfort level of protecting the public. Thank you.
Does the state wish to make an opening statement?
Yes, briefly. Mr. Chair, members of the board, this board voted to deny Alexander Burke's application for an occupational therapist. On July 10th, 2020, the applicant has the burden of proof to show that he has met all the qualifications for licensure.
This board's statutory mandate includes licensing and regulating the practice of occupational therapy in the state of Arizona. The board is here to protect the public and vulnerable populations, such as those who need occupational therapy services, to relearn functionality for day-to-day living. When deciding whether an applicant satisfies the qualifications for licensure, it reviews prior criminal history and especially prior history related to crimes of dishonesty or moral turpitude and the time frame from which those crimes were committed prior to seeking licensure. And on July 10th, 2020, the board reviewed Mr. Burke's application with disclosures of shoplifting, forgery, and misconduct of electors and officers in conjunction with his letters of recommendation that he submitted on his behalf. And this board voted to deny his application for licensure based on failure to meet the qualifications for licensure as an occupational therapist in the state of Arizona. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, does the applicant wish to testify or call any witnesses?
I believe Mr. Burke is appearing as well as potentially one witness. Alec, are you on the line?
I'm here, yes.
And do we have anyone else either calling in or via the web today?
I believe that we have Tara with us.
Okay. Tara, are you on the line? If you're there, you may be muted. No?
Yeah, I don't see any muting on any of the callers.
Okay. Okay, Alec.
Mr. Chair, if I may interrupt, this is Michael Rain, Assistant Attorney General. I do want to take one moment and recognize that the applicant's opening statement indicated a willingness to enter a consent agreement for licensure, which I understood had been previously offered but declined. In lieu of proceeding further with the hearing, I wanted to remind that you have the opportunity to address that now if the board was so inclined and the parties were so inclined. That seems like a change from what I understood to be the status quo, that had been rejected. So you could proceed down that path in lieu of the hearing today if you so chose, or you could retain that and consider it after the hearing. I just wanted to make sure you didn't do the whole hearing and then end up at that place anyway.
And the state is willing to entertain any type of proposed consent agreement at the board's discretion.
I do understand that. I believe the other board members do as well. They can speak to that. Otherwise, I'll be happy to move forward with our formal hearing.
And again, this is Michael Rain. I would, for my part, I leave that to the state and the applicant to decide whether they want to discuss that. If they did want to discuss that, it wouldn't be uncommon to recess the hearing and allow them to do that or to discuss the terms of it right now within the hearing as a procedural matter. I'm throwing it out there now because it could be efficient use of time. I'm looking at a consent agreement that was in our board materials and I believe would have been offered and the terms of which are probably familiar to both parties, but they could be summarized and an agreement could be reached in lieu of proceeding, but that is all I'll say on that. I'll leave it to the parties to decide how to proceed.
This is Mandy Carvis. We were willing to enter into the prior consent agreement. I believe it was rejected by the board. However, we would prefer to enter into a stipulated consent agreement for licensure if we can. We would be willing to agree to all of the terms that were provided in the prior consent agreement, which entailed 2 years probation, approximately 8 hours of specific continuing education, 4 hours of additional continuing education, completing and reviewing the board statute and regulations. It also dealt with submission of fingerprints, the FBI fingerprints, which has already taken place. He has also already received a good cause exception from the state to receive a fingerprint clearance card. The prior consent agreement did allow for early probation termination. If the board would feel more comfortable requiring the full term of probation for 2 years without, or a longer period with, without early termination, my client would be willing to do that. In addition, if they wanted some sort of submission from an employer on a quarterly basis as to his work or what he was doing, in prior consent agreements, the board had indicated that they wanted someone to submit a set of FBI fingerprints on a yearly basis. My client would certainly be willing to do that as well. In summary, we'd be willing to abide by whatever terms would make the board feel comfortable in terms of offering the license, but also honoring their obligation to protect the public.
At this time, I'd like to ask each board their position on moving forward the hearing or considering a negotiation of consent agreements. At this time, I would be more apt to continue with the formal hearing.
This is Barbara Paulson. It is and has been my opinion that we should have considered a consent agreement. And I would like the board to, well, Quentin, you've said, or Mr. Chair, you've said how you feel, but I really feel strongly that it's something the board could, and in my opinion, should look at this point. I'm looking at this case through maybe a wider lens than some of our discussion at the previous meetings that I felt Mr. Burke had really made a good faith effort to pursue a positive life change, and that I believe he should be given the opportunity to be licensed in the state of Arizona in some way via a consent agreement or whatever the board might decide. That's all I have to say.
Ms. Mars?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to continue through the formal hearing process, please.
Okay. So the two of us feel that we should continue on out of the three. We're going to go ahead and continue, and we were at calling any witnesses to be sworn in. So do we have any witnesses that we'll be calling?
My client, Mr. Burke, is appearing.
Okay, Mr. Burke?
Yes.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right. Mr. Burke was sworn in at 1:49. And make it 10 minutes.
May I proceed?
I apologize. Did you ask for me to make a statement?
Not just yet, Alec.
Mr. Chair, may Ms. Carvis proceed?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alec, let me know if you have any issues hearing me or need me to repeat or rephrase anything, okay?
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Would you please introduce yourself to the members of the board?
Yes. I am Alexander Burke, and I live here in Arizona, and I'm hoping to be an occupational therapist.
Would you please tell the board about what it was that prompted you to go to school to attempt to become an occupational therapist?
Absolutely. I actually started off working in disability law as a teenager, but then had a significant injury when I was in college as a collegiate athlete that required me to get extensive occupational therapy. And after that experience, I realized that, you know, being a disability attorney, there was a lot of good that I could do in helping folks that need a disability to get the money and health care that they needed to live. But I realized that occupational therapy would give me just such a greater ability to impact people's lives. Because for me, you know, being able to do the activities that I loved was much more important than getting a check every month. So I decided that it was time for a change and that I could make more of a difference as an occupational therapist.
And in that regard, after completion of your schooling, did you seek and were granted a waiver to take the examination in order to become a licensed occupational therapist?
I did, yes. Immediately upon being convicted for the most recent crime, and the conviction came just over a year after the crime was actually committed, I reached out to NBCOT and went through a very thorough process of them reaching out to individuals in my life and talking to them and me submitting extensive paperwork on everything that happened. And they did grant me the ability to sit for the NBCOT exam and become a licensed occupational therapist nationally. Or excuse me, become a registered occupational therapist nationally.
And in that regard, you elected to apply for licensure here in the state of Arizona, is that correct?
Yes, I definitely did. I was very excited at the potential of moving out here and working as an OT.
And when you initially came before this board, did you have at least one potential job offer or opportunity here in the state of Arizona?
I did, yes. I had multiple job offers.
Could you tell the members of the board a little bit about the job offers that you had been, that you had received prior to the initial licensing hearing in this matter?
Absolutely. I was originally hired to work with a company called Futures, and I was going to be doing in-school occupational therapy, which I was extremely excited about. I have a real passion for that. And then I was also offered two positions to do part-time home health. Primarily during the summers when I was off from school, but they were both going to be pediatric as well, which I really developed a love for pediatrics through occupational therapy school. And at this time, I've lost all those jobs due to the time that's passed since then, but I have received one additional job offer.
And would you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. This most recent offer was to do primarily in-home health care and a little bit of telehealth, depending on the nature of the COVID virus in our community and safety of it, working primarily with children in the greater Phoenix area.
You've already testified that you previously had experience working in the area of disability law at a law firm. In that context, were you given access to sensitive client personal and financial information?
I most certainly was, yeah. For 10 years, I've held a job. And I still do have access to that. For 10 years, I've held one job where I have access to thousands of people's intimate information, like social security numbers and date of births and home addresses and mother's maiden names. And I recently obtained a second job doing something very similar with access to similar information. And I've never had any sort of issues or misconduct in any way.
With respect to the crimes that you did disclose here, shoplifting and then the misconduct related to gathering signatures for something being put on a ballot proposition. Have you engaged in any other criminal activity, charged or uncharged, that this board is not aware of?
No, I have not.
And have you obtained an Arizona fingerprint clearance card since we were last before this board?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
And since we were last before this board, did you also complete the FBI fingerprint card and submit that to this board for consideration and processing?
I most definitely did. I've done everything within my power that I know to do in order to prove that I'm doing everything that I can and that I've turned my life around and I'm now responsible and ready to be in a position to work as an occupational therapist, make all that I've worked so hard to do come true.
And you heard me address the board earlier in terms of the things that you would be willing to do if this board were willing to grant you a license, such as an extended period of probation, having your employer submit quarterly or more frequent reports, continuing education, whatever board oversight is needed or wanted. Would you be willing to comply with any such directives that you receive from this board in order to become licensed?
I absolutely would. I have had this dream of being an occupational therapist for 7 years now, and I've done everything in my power to work towards it through the good times and through the bad times, and I would do absolutely anything in order to be able to practice as an occupational therapist.
And lastly, the last time that we were scheduled to be before the board and the meeting had to be terminated due to notice issues, at that point in time, did you have several character witnesses who were willing and able to testify on your behalf, either via phone or via WebEx for that meeting?
I did, yes. I had four or five, I can't remember, but either four or five people that were in attendance and ready to speak on my behalf, but unfortunately they were unable to take another day off work to be here today.
And were some of those people individuals who had already submitted a written statement on your behalf?
Some of them were and some of them were not.
So some of those would have been presenting new information to this board in addition to the numerous character letters that you had already previously presented?
Yes, ma'am.
And would you just briefly tell the board a very broad brush overview what opportunity it is that you're asking for from them today?
Of course, I am totally recognizing that I've made mistakes in the past and that I need to be held accountable for those, and I'm more than happy to do whatever's necessary to show that I have changed and that I'm committed to behaving in ethical and responsible ways. And you know, I think that most of us, when we get into our dream here, it feels like the end of the very long, long journey that we finally get to reap the rewards. And I've come through a lot in order to get here, through battling cancer, through the vast majority of my OT school, to dealing with some other things in my personal life. And I think that I've finally come to the end, and I'm very hopeful that eventually I'll be able to have the opportunity to show what a good OT that I know I can be.
Thank you, Alec. I don't have any further questions.
At this time, I'd like to welcome the state to cross-examine the witness.
I have no questions, Mr. Chair.
All right. So item C, reject examination by the applicant, or I'm sorry, redirect examination by the applicant. I'm not really sure what we're supposed to do here, so if maybe one of the AGs or Mr. Rain can help me.
Chair, this is Michael Rain. There would be no need for a redirect, and you can proceed to the next witness.
All right, thank you. Is there another witness to be called?
I'm not certain if Tara Wilford was able to appear either via WebEx or phone. Tara, if you're on the line, could you identify yourself? It doesn't sound like we have additional witnesses at this time, and we would rest on the documentary evidence that was submitted with the application and the new information that has been presented today with respect to fingerprint clearance and Mr. Burke's testimony.
All right. And at this time, it looks like we're going to admit evidence. The applicant may request that documents be admitted into evidence. Ask the opposing party, are there any objections to that?
No, Mr. Chair. And also, the state has presented eight exhibits here for this hearing, and the parties stipulate to the admission of those eight pieces of evidence. You can confirm that with Ms. Carvis.
Yes, rather than submitting separate exhibits, since they would essentially all be the same, we stipulate to the state's exhibits. The only other potential addition, and I believe the board staff would have access to this, is to confirm the fact that Mr. Burke did in fact submit his FBI fingerprint card and that has been submitted.
So at this time, we'll go ahead and admit Exhibit A, as it's labeled, into evidence.
I'm sorry, was that 1 through 8? This is Sabrina Kahn for the state. Was that Exhibits 1 through 8, Mr. Chair?
Yes, my apologies. I was looking at as a bulk, so yes, exhibits 1 through 8, excuse me, will be admitted.
And Mr. Chair, this is Michael Rain. If you, I wasn't clear if 1 through 8 included the document that Ms. Carvis had referenced. You may want to refer to that as exhibit, you know, A, or exhibit 9. But let's, you know, maybe we should give that a designation for the record.
That's correct, Ms. Raines. The document that I was referring to in terms of the FBI fingerprint card that has been submitted to the board but is still in process is not listed on the state's exhibits, but we would request that that be made formally an exhibit and that that be considered as part of the evidence today.
We will add item 9 as the FBI fingerprint card has the pending results. Are there any other items of evidence to be admitted? I'm only seeing the 8 plus the one that we're just discussing.
None from the state, Mr. Chair.
Nothing further from the applicant.
Okay, moving on. Since there are no other witnesses, does the applicant rest its case?
Yes, we do.
Does the state have any witnesses?
The state has one witness, Karen Whiteford, Executive Director of the Occupational Therapy Board.
Okay. Ms. Whiteford, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I know you're muted, and I'm afraid that's going to give us a huge echo. Is that?
Well, I'm trying to speak into the microphone.
We're good. Okay.
Okay.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Ms. Whiteford has been sworn in at 2:03. The state may start their examination.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Whiteford, what is your current position with the board, for the record?
I'm the executive director.
Okay. And are you familiar with this case?
Yes, I am.
Right. And so just directing your attention to what's been admitted as Exhibit 1, do you recognize this document?
Yes, it's the application for an occupational therapy license for, or occupational therapist license for Alexander Burke.
And with the application for licensure, is there a questionnaire that each applicant must fill out and submit?
Yes, there is.
Okay. And did Mr. Burke make any, I guess, affirmative responses on the questionnaire pertaining to prior history, criminal history?
Yes, he did.
All right. And so he did mark, I guess, what I'm asking is, did he mark yes to having ever been prior arrested, convicted, pardoned? Question number 1.8 of the questionnaire.
Yes, he answered yes to that question.
Okay. And why did he answer yes?
He had a previous conviction, or two previous convictions, that he had to report.
Okay. And what were those convictions?
They were for shoplifting and forgery.
Okay. Was there another charge or another conviction? It's not right there. Okay. So did Mr. Burke submit a supplemental statement with his application?
Yes, he did.
Okay. And did he explain his conduct in that statement?
Yes. He submitted a statement. He first speaks about a shoplifting charge that he was convicted of, and then also forgery and election misconduct charges.
Okay, and he does admit to that in his statement here?
Yes.
Okay. And so in his statement, does he acknowledge the behavior?
Yes, several times he acknowledges that what he knew they were doing was wrong, but he had no clue that it was such a serious violation of the law. And when I'm saying this is referring to the forgery and election misconduct charges. He also stated that he said it was knowingly unethical, but had no clue it was illegal. And then one last time he did say, I did know that it was unethical.
Okay, and this information again was the supplemental narrative submitted by the applicant, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and then what is NBCOT?
That stands for the National Board for Certification in Occupational Therapy.
Okay, and did the applicant submit any documentation from NBCOT?
Yes, he submitted a letter of censure from the NBCOT.
Okay, and so when was that letter of censure executed?
It was executed January 11th, 2019.
Okay, and for what particular reason?
National Board of Certification in Occupational Therapy had reviewed the documentation that Mr. Burke submitted for early determination review regarding his conviction of forgery and election misconduct. And in response, they found that, or they issued a letter of censure for violating Principle 5 of the NBCOT Candidate Certificate Code of Conduct.
Okay. Thank you. And was this document signed by Mr. Burke?
Yes, it was.
Okay. And now, Ms. Whiteford, I'm going to move on to Exhibit 2 that's been admitted. And what is Exhibit 2 generally?
Character reference letters for Mr. Burke.
Okay, and when did board staff receive these reference letters?
They were received on July 5th by email from Mr. Burke.
Okay, and thank you. And now moving on to Exhibit 3 that's been admitted into the record. What is Exhibit 3 for the record, Ms. Whiteford?
They're documents related to the 2015 shoplifting charge.
Okay, and so the shoplifting charge that occurred in 2015, what state did this occur in?
The state of Utah.
Okay, what court?
The Riverdale Justice Court in Weber County.
All right. And how was this case resolved?
Mr. Burke pled no contest.
And when did he plead no contest?
February 25th, 2016.
Okay. And was the applicant required to undergo any court terms? What was his sentence if he received one?
Let's see. Mr. Burke was sentenced to 20 days in jail and with 12 months of probation and a $500 fine.
Okay, and this information is in Exhibit 3, correct?
Yes.
All right, Ms. Whiteford, I'm going to move on to Exhibit 4. That's admitted into the record. And what is Exhibit 4?
Documentation related to the forgery and violation of petition procedures charges.
Okay. And so in regards to all of this, what was the outcome? Did the applicant plea in this case?
Yes, if you'll give me just a moment, I'll locate that information.
Okay, take your time.
Okay, the applicant pled guilty to two counts of forgery and three counts of misconduct of elections and officers.
Okay, and when did the applicant plead guilty to these charges?
Okay. October 23rd, 2018.
Okay, and then when you said forgery, what kind of two counts of forgery, what was that classified as?
Third degree felony.
And for the misconduct of electors and officers, what type of charge was that classified as?
Those are Class A misdemeanors.
Okay. And for the forgery, was the applicant sentenced?
Yes.
Okay, what was the sentence?
Okay, the sentence for forgery was prison. So according to this document, the defendant was sentenced to, or the applicant was sentenced to, an indeterminate term of not to exceed 5 years in the Utah State Prison. And
okay, was that suspended?
That was suspended.
Okay. And was that for both counts of forgery?
Yes.
Okay. And then for the misconduct of electors and officers, was the applicant sentenced for that?
Yes. The applicant was sentenced to 365 days jail for each count, community service, 60 hours, and 3 year probation.
Okay, so the 365 days in jail, that was all suspended, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and so...
And there's one other thing I forgot I didn't mention, was the 90 days of home confinement.
Okay, 90 days of home confinement. And was community service also included in this as well?
Yes, 60 hours.
And then was the applicant placed on a term of probation for this? And if so, how many years?
Yes, he was. It was for 3 years.
Okay. And then to your knowledge, was the probation terminated at any time?
Yes.
Was it terminated early?
Let's see. It was terminated March 31st, 2020. So that would have been early. I'm understanding it correctly.
So I'm looking at the order terminating probation, and I'm still in exhibit 4, and I'm on Bates number 44, Bates number 66.
Yes.
The order terminating probation, and you said March 31st, 2020?
Yes.
Okay, and then it was signed on what date, just for the record?
April 2nd, 2020.
And so it was terminated early. Now I want to talk about the charges. So I want to move back to the order on motion for reduction of charges. Were the charges reduced at any time, to your knowledge?
Yes, they were.
Okay, could you please explain that?
Okay, the two counts of forgery were originally third degree felonies and they were reduced to Class B misdemeanors. The three counts of misconduct of electors and officers was initially a Class A misdemeanor, and it was reduced to a Class C misdemeanor.
Okay. And was there any notation regarding the applicant's behavior attitude with working with the client probation services? Bates number 67.
Yes. In the C&D Court Services client probation report, it stated that Mr. Burke was always respectful and cooperative.
Thank you. And perhaps I already asked you this, Ms. Swiford, and I apologize. When were the charges reduced from the felonies to misdemeanors or misdemeanors to lesser misdemeanors? What was the date on that?
I
Okay, the date on the order on motion for a reduction in charges. Let's see. Is April 17th, 2020.
Thank you. Ms. White, we're directing your attention to Exhibit 5. What is Exhibit 5?
Exhibit 5 is a letter from the Arizona Board of Occupational Therapy Examiners to Mr. Burke, and it is an application denial.
Okay, when was it sent to Mr. Burke?
It was sent July 23rd, 2020.
Thank you. Directing your attention to Exhibit 6. Is this the applicant's request for a hearing on license denial?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Exhibit 7. What is this document?
This document is a letter from the Arizona Board of Fingerprinting to Mr. Burke, granting him a good cause exception for a level 1 fingerprint clearance card.
Thank you. And did board staff receive a copy of his FBI fingerprint clearance card for board staff to run it?
Actually, the board staff received Mr. Burke's fingerprints on FBI form FD-258 on October 22nd. Those have been submitted to the Department of Public Safety, but we have not received the criminal history report as of yet.
Thank you. And then also, did Mr. Burke submit any CE as Exhibit 7? As a reference?
Yes, he did. 7. He did. He submitted a certificate of completion for a 3-hour course named Ethics for Occupational Therapists.
Thank you. And then for Exhibit 8, Ms. Whiteford, what is this document?
This document is a notice of hearing on license denial in the matter of Alexander Burke.
Okay. Thank you. I have nothing further for Ms. Whiteford.
All right, this time I'd like to welcome the applicant for a cross-examination.
Yes, briefly, thank you. Ms. Whiteford, I just have a couple of questions for you. If at any point in time you need me to repeat or rephrase, just ask, and I'm happy to do that, okay?
Okay.
With respect to my client's application, which has been marked as Exhibit Number 1, you agree and have already testified that he did disclose these criminal convictions at the time of his application. Is that correct?
Yes, he did.
And if additional information relating to any of those things was requested from Mr. Burke, did he submit those as well?
He did submit additional information, and I also obtained additional information on my own.
And did you, in the course of obtaining additional information, learn anything that was inconsistent with the nature of the disclosure that Mr. Burke had made in his original application?
No, there was nothing contradicting what the information he provided. It simply provided additional information.
Did he, in addition to providing several character letters, which are marked as Exhibit 2, also provide several professional recommendation forms along with his application?
Yes, applicants are required to submit 2 professional recommendation forms.
And he submitted those as required?
Yes.
With respect to Exhibit Number 2, do you have any idea as to how many letters are part of Exhibit Number 2, how many character references Mr. Burke provided?
You know, I counted at one point, I think it's somewhere, it's either 17 or 27. There's quite a few here.
And was that a significant number?
Yes.
Would you agree with me that these were from various individuals, classmates, teachers, friends, employers?
Yes.
And did all of these people indicate that they believed that Mr. Burke should be granted licensure as an occupational therapist?
Yes, they did.
With respect to, I want to talk to you briefly about something in exhibit number four relating to those charges, specifically Bates number 0058. Do you have that in front of you?
Yes, I do.
And you see that this is handwriting information about the plea bargain that was entered. You agree with me that it says the state recommends no jail, correct?
Yes, it does.
And again, you agree that on pages 61 and 62 of exhibit number four that the felony charges were reduced to misdemeanor charges, correct?
That's correct.
So to your understanding, all of the charges that Mr. Burke reported to this board, none of them remain felonies. They're all misdemeanors. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Would you please turn to Bates number 67 of exhibit number four?
Okay, I'm there.
You read a portion of this about him always being respectful and cooperative. Do you agree with me that this document also indicates and says he has worked diligently and consistently to satisfy conditions of probation? Client has a job opportunity out of state. I recommend that probation be terminated early and successfully to allow him to take advantage of that job opportunity. Did I read that accurately?
Yes, that's what it says.
So he received a good report from probation services, and they recommended early termination, which was granted. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you testified already that the FBI fingerprint clearance, the FBI fingerprint card has been submitted by Mr. Burke. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And you are, and it has been submitted to DPS. You're just waiting on return of that information, correct?
That's correct.
You did, however, receive exhibit number 7, which is a letter from the Arizona Board of Fingerprinting indicating that they had granted Mr. Burke a good cause exception to grant him a level 1 fingerprint clearance card. Is that correct?
That's correct.
How long have you served as the executive director of this board?
Nearly 5 years.
And in that time, to your recollection, do you know how many licenses have been denied for reasons of criminal convictions?
You know, I would have to check our records because this is not the only agency that I'm the director for, but I don't believe anyone else has been denied. There have been revocations, but I don't recall any denials.
So, Mr. Burke, to your recollection, realizing you don't have access to all of the records, but Mr. Burke's application would be the only denial that you can think of in your 5 years of serving as executive director on this board?
That's correct.
You would agree with me that in the time that you've served as the executive director on this board, that licensure has been granted to other people who have also reported criminal convictions, correct?
That's true.
Including licensure being granted to individuals who have also been convicted of crimes of moral turpitude. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I believe that those are all the questions I have. Thank you.
Okay, at this time I'd like to welcome the state to do a redirect examination.
Thank you. Ms. Whiteford, I'd like to direct your attention to Exhibit 4. And I'm on the base number 55 and 56 of the statement of defendant in support of guilty plea and certification and certificate of counsel. And on page 56, what is written up there at the top of page 56 in terms of the conduct, forgery, and elections or violation of petition procedures?
It says, the defendant did knowingly sign I'm sorry, this is handwritten and it's kind of difficult to read. Did knowingly sign name of other than his for referendum petition.
Okay. And then for forgery, the elements of the crime of forgery, underneath that, what is depicted there to the degree that you're able to decipher the handwriting?
Okay, let's see. Defendant with purpose to defraud anyone or with knowledge that he was... I cannot read that word. To be perpetuated by anyone.
Okay, but it does state with defendant with purpose to defraud anyone.
Yes.
Okay. And did the applicant sign the document?
Yes.
Okay. And when was it signed again?
October 23rd, 2018.
Okay. And so I'd like to direct your attention to Exhibit 5.
Okay.
The reasons for the denial of the application for licensure were what exactly in terms of this letter? And I'm looking at Bates number 70. What was the reason the board denied the application for an occupational therapy license?
Based on Arizona Revised Statute 32-3423A1, it states that the applicant should be of good moral character.
Okay, and is good moral character defined?
Yes, it's defined in a footnote on the document as an applicant has not been convicted of a felony or a misdemeanor within 5 years before application and never been convicted of a felony or misdemeanor involving moral turpitude.
Okay, and so Mr. Burke was convicted of shoplifting. The disposition date was when? Is it February 25th, 2016?
Yes, February 25th, 2016.
And do you recall the disposition date or the plea agreement date for the forgery and misconduct of electors and officers?
It was October 23rd, 2018.
Okay. And when did he submit application?
It was May 20th, 2020.
Okay. Does the board have the statutory authority to deny an applicant who commits a felony or a misdemeanor, whether or not involving, excuse me, I'm still at the denial letter. Does the board have the statutory authority to deny an applicant's license? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. And then in ARS 32-3423B1 and 2, what's the parameters of the denial?
The board may deny a license to an applicant who either commits a felony, whether or not involving moral turpitude, or a misdemeanor involving moral turpitude.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Whiteford. Nothing further.
Okay, at this time, the board is welcome to ask questions. Ms. Whiteford, I would like to start by asking if, Ms. Whiteford, during your time on the board as the executive director, have you seen from an initial applicant a letter of censure from NBCOT?
No, I have not.
Have you seen the board approve a license with this type of severity and number of misdemeanors related to moral turpitude be approved with Have you seen the board approve a license of someone who has had these types of severity and crimes within the time frame from the application?
I have not.
Do either of the other board members have any questions?
This is Barbara Paulson. I do not. You mean for Ms. Whiteford?
Correct.
Okay. I don't.
This is Charlene Marks, Mr. Chair. I have no questions.
Okay. Mr. Rainey, just to confirm, on my dialogue here, it tells me to offer to admit additional evidence, and since we've done that initially with both parties, I can move forward and skip that, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Are there any additional witnesses by the state?
No further witnesses.
Does the state rest?
Yes.
This concludes the evidentiary portion of the administrative hearing. The board will now hear closing arguments. The applicant may present a closing argument.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. As the board has heard today and has documentary evidence, my client disclosed these criminal convictions with his application. He was forthcoming with information. He did not try to hide anything. In addition to that, he successfully completed probation for those items, was terminated early. His probation officer had glowing things to say about him. He submitted an upwards of 20 character letters of all of individuals who recommend that this board give him an opportunity. As I started out in my opening remarks today, my client is not asking this board to ignore their duty and obligation to protect the public. Rather, my client is asking this board for an opportunity that this board has granted to numerous other people who have applied and disclosed crimes of moral turpitude. As Ms. Whiteford testified, she cannot recall an instance in which this board has denied someone a license due to criminal convictions during her 5 years on this board. We have presented evidence of this board offering and granting licensure to other individuals who were convicted of crimes of moral turpitude and had their license granted with lesser restrictions on it than Mr. Burke is willing to undergo. He is willing to have anything and everything as part of his probation or initial licensure in this board. He is simply asking for an opportunity, to practice for his change in life and his hard work and in school to be recognized and for him to fulfill his dream of becoming an occupational therapist. Not only has this board granted licensure to other individuals who have been convicted of crimes of moral turpitude, this board has also allowed other members who are already licensed to maintain their license when they have been found to be under the effects of alcohol, drugs, and other substances, and habitual use of substances while practicing. There have been individuals who have come before this board for billing fraud, and they have maintained their license. There have been instances where someone wanted to give their license up to this board because of acts, and this board actually specifically talked that individual out of that, saying, "Why would you give up your license and everything that you've worked so hard for?" That's the only thing that Mr. Burke is asking for. He's asking for the same opportunity that you have provided to other individuals who are seeking licensure. He's asking for an opportunity with oversight that you have provided to individuals who are already licensed with this board. Mr. Burke is just asking for similar treatment, and he's asking for this board for an opportunity. In conclusion, he is willing to be on probation for however long that this board sees fit, to whatever terms that this board sees fit, so that this board is confident that he is not a danger to the public and can practice safely as an occupational therapist within the state of Arizona. Thank you.
Does the state have, the state may present a closing argument.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In order to be licensed as an occupational therapist in the state of Arizona, the applicant has to satisfy certain qualifications in order to be granted a license. They have to meet a certain threshold. And one of the threshold items that an applicant must establish is good moral character. And that's defined in Regulation Arizona Administrative Code, and it's provided in our statutes here in Arizona Revised Statutes.
And so first and foremost, in order to be around people who desire occupational therapy services, that person has to be entrusted to be able to work around those persons. And a way that this board kind of oversees that is to look at good moral character. And good moral character is defined in AAC, Arizona Administrative Code, R443-101. So that's R4-43-101. It defines good moral character as an applicant has not been convicted of a felony or a misdemeanor within 5 years before application and had never been convicted of a felony or misdemeanor involving moral turpitude. The board has a statutory authority to deny an applicant who commits a felony, whether or not involving moral turpitude, or a misdemeanor involving moral turpitude. And that's in Arizona Revised Statute, Section 32-3423B. And what we have here is a situation where this applicant, unfortunately, Mr. Burke, has, you know, put himself in situations that are ethically and legally challenging, which he acknowledges in his disclosure letter to the board in Exhibit 2. Karen, I think my mic is going out. I think it's about to die. Sorry about that. My microphone was going out. And in order to practice as an occupational therapist, those threshold requirements must be met. And in this case, we have convictions, but they're convictions for crimes of moral turpitude, and they're relatively recent in time to Mr. Burke submitting application for licensure, which he submitted application for licensure on May 20th of 2020. He has a prior conviction for shoplifting, which is a crime of moral turpitude. The disposition date on that was February 25th, 2016. He also has convictions for crimes of moral turpitude relating to forgery, two counts of forgery that were originally in the third degree, which was reduced to Class B misdemeanors, and then misconduct of electors and officers, which were Class A misdemeanors and reduced to Class C misdemeanors. He pled guilty on October 23rd, 2018, and the reduction in charges were completed in done on April 17th, 2020. And so we do have several issues with moral turpitude that are relatively recent to him submitting application in May of 2020. And so the board has the statutory authority to deny an application based upon crimes such as this nature. Tangential references to what the board has done in other cases, you know, that's not germane to this discussion regarding his specific crimes of moral turpitude. So, the evidence here, what we have in front of us is we have an applicant who has submitted, truthfully, they acknowledged on their application that they did commit crimes of moral turpitude. They submitted application. They submitted supporting documentation. But unfortunately, he just hasn't met the threshold burden to establish that he has met the requirements for application, for licensure of this board. And so the board takes these things very seriously. And Mr. Burke acknowledges that in Exhibit 2, where he states he knew that the conduct was unethical. You know, he knew it was unethical, perhaps maybe didn't realize how illegal it was, but there's an acknowledgement here that, you know, he's acknowledging that it's unethical, and the state does acknowledge that he did have his charges reduced and that he did work with probation, but still, it's up to him to establish that he has met the qualifications for licensure. And with that, I have nothing further.
Does the applicant wish to make a brief rebuttal?
Just very briefly, again, my client is simply asking for an opportunity that has been presented to other individuals. He can be granted licensure under circumstances that allow the board to protect the public, and that is our request today. Thank you.
Having heard the testimony and reviewed the evidence and arguments of the parties, the board will discuss the case. The board must decide whether an applicant has demonstrated that he meets the qualifications for licensure set forth in the board statutes. Mr. Rain, you have a quick question?
I'm sorry?
I have a quick question. This is where we deliberate, correct, versus continuing to read the script.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have the script in front of me that you do. This would be the time that the board discusses its proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order. There don't seem to be many disputes of fact as to what the convictions are and what the status of the post-conviction proceedings are. So you may want to begin with the findings of fact in the complaint and move on from there to find, or in the, with regard to licensure, the findings of fact in the notice of license denial, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it. But ultimately, now is the time for you to make your decision, simply put.
I just want to make sure I'm doing this correctly. It's not like we have a lot of these that we haven't come across.
If the board would like to go into executive session, we could go into the legal issues pertaining to licensure, if there's any questions about the law that applies.
Would the members like to make a motion to go into executive session for legal advice? Ms. Marbs? Ms. Paulson?
Mr. Chair, this is Charlie Marbs. I have no motion to make.
Okay. Ms. Paulson?
I don't believe I have a motion to make either.
Okay, and then we will address the finding of fact. And I'm just getting to the license now in our exhibits, so bear with me. If someone else has them up, feel free to address that. We don't dispute the fact that we have a number of felony accounts that were essentially reduced to misdemeanors for shoplifting, and then I think more important to the board is the election forgery fraud. So that's clearly a violation of our ethics, and that's where we're establishing the lack of good moral character. So that those are our facts. By my calculation, it looks like these took place during his time in OT school, if not slightly right before, but in that process. I do want to also note that with NBCOT being a private organization, they do reserve the right to refuse a person to be able to sit for the exam, as they don't have necessarily the same obligations as the state to protect the public. So they are in a different role of more competence than me. So I wanted to note that as well. So those are our findings of fact. Do we have any dispute on that? Can we get a roll call vote wow, my words. I apologize. To adopt those findings of fact.
One clarification, Mr. Chair. Could Mr. Burke verify when these crimes occurred? Was it during the time he was attending school or not?
Is this in reference to the most recent charge?
Yes.
It was after one semester of school.
Okay. Thank you for that information.
So at this time, I'd like to adopt the finding of fact based on the election forgery and the shoplifting charges as crimes of moral turpitude, and therefore the basis for our denial of license lack of good moral character. All in favor, or do I have a second? Excuse me.
I don't think I'm ready to. Oh, did you want to go?
Mr. Rain, I'm just maybe a little bit confused, Mr. Rain, in terms of what. Which document the board is referring to in terms of findings of fact?
Excuse me, yeah, so there is a license denial. The applicant bears the burden of proof to establish licensure. The board has determined in its earlier letter that it would deny licensure under two statutes. The basis of denial under those two statutes are the convictions. There don't seem to be any disputes about the convictions, whether they were felonies, misdemeanors, how they've been reduced. None of that seems to be disputed. So ultimately, you can just vote, you know, to affirm the basis of your license denial based on the reasons set forth in the letter that has been presented that form the basis of today's hearing. Sometimes it helps boards to deliberate to just focus on the legal issues and know that the factual issues aren't in dispute. And I don't hear either party really arguing for a dispute of any facts that form the basis.
This is Katie Curtis. There's not a dispute.
So ultimately, without going into an executive session to provide you legal advice in that context, which no one made the motion to do, I would just say that under 32, 34, 23, B1 and 2, the board may deny a license to an applicant who commits a felony or who commits a misdemeanor involving moral turpitude. I don't believe either party disputes that you have the discretion to deny this license. The question is, for the board members ultimately, do you want to, or would you rather offer a consent agreement and if not accepted, affirm your license denial, or simply deny the license and affirm your license denial, or grant the license without condition? It's less complicated than it seems. You really just need to decide if you want to deny it, if you want to offer a consent, or you want to grant it with no stipulations.
Okay.
Mr.
Chair.
Yes.
It's Barbara Paulson. You know, I before we would go to determine, I understand that the finding of facts that we looked at, but I had a question as to whether the board would be open to discussing a consent agreement.
I personally am not.
This is Charlene Marr. Go ahead.
No, please proceed.
This is Charlene Marr. I'm not open to discussing a consent agreement either.
Okay. Well,
Mr. Chair, this is Michael Rain again. I would recommend then, based on what I've just heard, that one of the board members make a motion. It sounds as if you have a majority of members ready to make a decision.
This is Mandy Carvis. I feel like Ms. Paulson has indicated that she would like the opportunity to make a statement as to her position, and it's my understanding that this is still the time frame that is open for discussion, and I would request that Ms. Paulson be allowed to make the statement despite the fact that the other individuals on the board are not willing to entertain a consent agreement. I would respectfully request that Ms. Paulson be able to make a statement at this time regarding her position on this issue, because I believe she wishes to be heard.
I was going to go ahead and just, you know, make a motion, but I was hoping we could have just a little more conversation, hearing the facts, knowing the facts, I guess I'm wanting a little more than just saying, well, I'm not interested in talking about a consent agreement. Can you give me some specific factors that lead you to decide not to consider a consent agreement?
I have the unfortunate position of being the only registered and licensed occupational therapy currently on the board. And I know what it's like to want to be a therapist and to go through that process. I was actually an OT assistant prior to that. And my mindset is, you know, you need to do the right things to get to the point to where you have that privilege. It is, in fact, I believe, a privilege to be an occupational therapist because you are around people that are at much much risk of being able to be manipulated or, you know, various of things. We're talking about the critically ill. We're talking about children with special needs. And being on this board, to me, means that we have to protect those people as best as we can and as ethically as we can to prevent anything from happening to those people, to being taken advantage of. Or, and then we, on the other side of that, there's the ease of being able to create fraudulent documentation for financial gains, in addition to the manipulation of people and things like that are critically ill or handicapped in other ways. So I take it very seriously what we're doing here today, and I don't believe, based on the history here, that we should be granting a license to someone who has committed a level of crimes as forgery and welcoming them into the occupational therapy world, knowing that they could do something like that very easily, especially considering that they were in school to be an occupational therapist and understood what that means. So your first semester, you're usually getting, you know, entry-level classes and you're getting those ethics courses and things like that and understanding what it really is to be an occupational therapist before you learn the things you need to learn to do that. So for those reasons, I'm not interested in discussing a consent agreement. I will welcome Ms. Marbs to the floor to discuss her point of view.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Ms. Olson, for sharing your point of view as well. Having read all of the documentation, the hearing today, I would say, was helpful to hear additional discussion and walk through all of the exhibits. My concern with this and why I am not interested in discussing a consent agreement, one has to do with how recent Mr. Burke's brushes with the law are and the seriousness of them as well in relation to his profession, but serious nonetheless in other aspects as well. The Arizona state statute seems clear from what was shared with us, given the time frame. And while I do believe Mr. Burke has worked very hard to make a new life for himself, and I hope that he continues on that path because he seems to be, you know, doing well in that regard. He is not outside of the timeline according to the state statute. So based on those things, that is why I'm not interested in moving forward to discuss a consent agreement.
Okay. I appreciate
I was just going to say, do you have anything further to add?
I do not.
Ms. Paulson, do you have anything further to add?
No, I was just going to say, you know, I appreciate your honesty and your feelings. And I just hearken back to the opportunity that could be given to a person with oversight. It might be an extraordinary gesture for the board to make a decision that way. But, you know, I in no way minimize the violations, the crimes that he committed. So I was just looking at it from that point of view, but I'm feeling like talking any more about it is not going to change minds or hearts.
Okay, at this time, move the applicant has failed to demonstrate by a preponderance of evidence that he meets the qualifications set forth in the board statutes. I'm that the board affirm the denial of application for licensure and then incorporate the underlying factual findings and legal conclusions in the board's denial order. Do I have a second?
This is Charlene Marks. I second your motion, Mr. Chair.
Okay, at this time, we'll have a roll call vote.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Nay.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
The motion carries 2-1. This concludes the formal hearing. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served on parties. The parties will have further appeal rights that will be explained in the board. This concludes this matter. Thank you all for attending today.
Mr. Chair, would it be okay to have a brief break, a brief recess?
Yeah, I was going to try to, but we only have 7B. How much time would you like?
5 minutes.
We'll take a brief recess at 2:53, and we'll come back at 3:03. I'm sorry, 2:58, and we'll return at 3:03. Running to break session at 3:03, and we are on agenda item 7A, Rice Van Devender. I need to put my glass on. I will open this matter up for discussion or a motion, as this was not a crime of moral turpitude. Do I have a motion or any discussion for this license?
Yeah, it looks like Mr. Van Devender completed all his requirements after his conviction. So I would make a motion that his that his license be granted.
I'll second the motion. All in favor?
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Motion carries 3-0. That moves us to 7A2. Ms. Stringfellow. And it looks like this was a previously revoked license. I read the information. I'd like to open this up for discussion.
Yes, and Ms. Stringfellow is not on the call. Is that correct? Karen, do we know?
I don't believe so.
Okay. I will just say I got very confused by the information presented to us.
Would you like to invite her to our next board meeting for clarification?
I think that would be a great idea.
I agree with Charlene, yes.
Yeah, I'm on the same page as you guys.
Okay, good.
let's table this matter, because from what I've read, the result doesn't look like, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of years and multiple states, and yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, all right. At this time, I'd like to table this matter and direct board staff to invite Ms. Stringfellow into our next board meeting to discuss this matter. Okay, so now we're on item 7A3, Paul F. Nesta, and I believe he is on the phone,
yeah.
If he's still with us.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Okay. Would you like to make a statement?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. My name is Paul Vallarta, and to open up my statement, pretty much I've been working as an occupational therapy assistant in Utah from 2014 up to April 2020, the beginning stages of the COVID-19. And because of the shutdown, there was a reduction in force, so I was laid off at the time back in April. And that's why I was applying for my Arizona State license. And it's been a privilege to be working as an OTA here. I've been helping a lot of people get better. And I worked in skilled nursing for the most part. And then I did a PRN position at the hospital in St. George, Utah, Intermountain Community. And there I worked with spinal cord injury patients, neurotrauma, stroke patients, and it's been a great deal of experience working in, before this. Well, the reason I wanted to become an occupational therapist is because I was a CNA before, and I was introduced to occupational therapy, and I've been with the MDCLT since 2001, so it's been a great experience, and I know that I've, you know, made some mistakes throughout my life, but I've corrected those mistakes. I've changed my life, and that's why I asked if you guys could please give me the opportunity to work in Arizona. And also, I went out there and for an interview, and they were, and I was offered a position, but it just determines on the outcome of this hearing. So again, I ask you guys for the opportunity to give me a chance to get a license in the state of Arizona. Thank you.
And Ms. Whiteford, all I see is a list of cases and the result. Do we have any other court documentation?
We do not. If you'll just give me a moment to review this application, I just have one specific item I'm looking for.
While you're doing that amongst the board, I think I would like to see more information related to what these are.
Yeah.
So that we can better make an appropriate decision on this license.
Mr. Chair, so there has been kind of a communication gap. Mr. Vallarta, he submitted this application on originally August 25th, 2020. He was left a message, a voicemail, I believe, asking for more information regarding the list that he had sent us. And you know, Mr. Vallarta, please feel free to jump in to correct me if I'm wrong, but he wasn't really sure what we were looking for, and I sent him an email, and he tried to call me, and it was, you know, just this week, so it was extremely busy. So there are some ways that we can obtain additional information.
Yes, and that'll be fine. If the board needs additional information, I'll be more than happy to send it out to you. I don't have a problem with that. That'll be perfectly fine.
Okay, that would be great. I had written a note, too, that there seemed to be a lack of documentation. And Mr. Vallarta, you probably noticed in the preceding part of the meeting that we're all about information and documentation. So on that California thing, talking about a DUI, evading a police officer, obstructing battery, so it would be very helpful to see those documents?
Yes, I'll be more than happy to send them to you. Most of these cases have been dismissed,
okay.
And I'm still working on the DUIs because they happened like 10 years ago, and I'm working on getting that dismissed also.
Okay.
But I'll be more than happy to send you the information.
Thank you. We'd really appreciate your efforts on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so at this time, we would like to table this item until we have further information. And please provide as much documentation, including the fact, you know, the case happenings and any documentation you can find.
Right. Okay, so then I'll go ahead and reach out to Ms. Whiteford and submit my information to her.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm. All right. At this time, we're tabling items 8 and 9, and we're moving to item 10. And so what I had asked Ms. Whiteford to do is add something to where we could provide a pay raise for the staff members. This was triggered by a cost of living increase that Congress had passed for Social Security recipients, and I think that it's very appropriate at best, or at the minimum, to look at giving our board staff at least a minimum of that cost of living increase, that COLA, as it's referred to in Congress. So I wanted to put that on the table. Subsequently, we have item B, where there's a moratorium on any changes for that, but I do want to continue to look at ways we can do what we need to do to keep up with the cost of living and appropriate salaries for the staff at the board.
I enthusiastically support that, Mr. Chair.
Good. one of the things I had thought about, we're on seat now, review possibility of awarding staff salaries and bonuses, and I think that there's a moratorium on that as well.
Okay.
Is that correct?
This is Mrs. Whiteford. That's correct.
So I think one of the possibilities to address this is to change grades. And so what I'd like to do is direct Karen to discuss that with HR so that we can to provide some kind of pay increase for our board staff members. Does anybody have anything else to add to that?
No.
Okay.
I have a question. So can we vote to give you a grade change?
No, there's a process that has to occur
okay.
with HR to
yeah.
change
okay.
grades.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I was trying to do.
I didn't know we were that powerful. Okay.
All right. So item 11, I'd like to continue this discussion based on what kind of information Karen can provide us at the next meeting so that we can see what we can actually do to make that happen. I'd also like to direct board staff to put something in the calendar every November so that at minimum we can address this and look at it annually as well. Is it possible something to affect?
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand what you said. What are we going to do in November?
To have every November have us look at salaries for the board staff.
Oh, okay.
Annual.
Thank you for clarifying that.
No problem. Was there any other items for next month? All right.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
With that, ladies, I will adjourn the meeting at 3:16.
Thank you.